Amen, church. Well, if you could, grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be in there this morning. Romans chapter 6, right after the book of Acts. Man, I am glad to see your faces this morning. I am really glad to see your faces. If you're a visitor in here this morning, we want to let you know that we are incredibly, incredibly grateful that you're visiting with us this morning. Your presence with us is just a blessing to us. And I know there have been several visitors that I've been able to meet, and man, it's just awesome to have you here. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. I'm excited about this morning. I'm just excited. The book of Romans is just a book that you just get excited about. You know, it's just a meaty book. It's a book full of substance, and so we're just going to dive into it this morning. I tell you what, there's some jobs that I've been a part of that are just dirty. They're just dirty jobs. You just get dirty. You ever plan for maybe some gardening, right? Some gardening, and you know if you're gonna do some gardening, you're gonna get dirty. If you're thinking about gardening and you're thinking about you're gonna keep yourself clean, then you're You've got the wrong idea for that morning, okay? If you're gonna do some gardening, or if guys, or if we're gonna maybe do an oil change, right? What do we know? We're gonna get messy. It's just gonna get dirty. And I can remember as a kid, usually during the summer, just waking up on a nice summer day, and just putting some clothes on, some fresh, clean clothes that mom just washed, some shorts, living in Florida, of course, and a t-shirt, and that's all you needed, shorts and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes, and go out the door. And I remember leaving, and the clothes was, you know, my mom, she's a neat freak. So she, like, folded even t-shirts, and, you know, I just crumpled them and put them in there, you know. And so she folded them, and so, you know, a nice crisp t-shirt and a nice crisp pair of shorts. How many of you like the feeling of that? Just wearing just a nice clean shirt, some nice clean pants or something. It just feels good. And I'd head out the door, knowing that I was going to be playing some football or some baseball. And man, several hours later, I would come back, and guess what? Just dirty. I mean, the socks. I don't know how dirt gets into the shoe underneath. I think dirt just, you know, has a mind of its own, I guess. I don't know. But I remember just coming back just filthy dirty, just dirty. And, you know, mom, just like you who are a mother here, you grab the clothes, put in the dirty clothes hamper, or put in the washer, and you wash it. What comes out after that is some clean clothes, ready to be soiled again. And so I started thinking about this idea of dirty jobs and dirtying your clothes, and I thought of this guy, Mike Rowe. How many of you watch the show Dirty Jobs? I mean, man, I don't know if you've noticed him before he gets into a job. I mean, he is spotless, right? And then he turns into something like this by the end of the episode. And so I'm going, man, that guy's really got a knack for getting dirty. But I'll be honest with you, I think we do too. We got a knack for getting dirty. And so we're talking about cleansing today. We're talking about baptism today. We're talking about, going under the water, being washed, all the different terms that you can maybe attach to baptism. That's what we're talking about this morning. And Paul just opens it up for us in Romans chapter 6. But it's the idea that, you know, that getting dirty isn't really fun if you think about it. But for some of us, a lot of us, if you were like me when I was a kid, you know, I'm running out there, I'm playing football. The worst stain on a pair of shorts or a pair of pants is a what? A grass stain. Thank you, moms. You're like, grass stain. You know, the grass stains are terrible. And I remember just going out and playing. Once you get one stain, if you were like me, you're just like, well, I guess I'm dirty. You know, and you just let it go. And I think a lot of times, spiritually, we feel the same way. I think we begin, you know, with some new clothes, especially those who are Christians, and we start making our journey through life and we start getting a little dirty, a little soiled up, and we're starting to wonder, like, man, is there anything that I can do about this? Or maybe you're in here this morning and you're not a Christian, and this idea of being dirty and especially spiritually dirty is kind of foreign to you. Or maybe this idea of baptism is really foreign and you never even heard about it before. You maybe saw things on TV or read about it, and so it's unfamiliar. But to be honest with you, baptism goes way back. It goes way back into religious customs and culture. If you go back to Leviticus, specifically Leviticus 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way through about 21 or 22, baptism was a key component of the Levitical priesthood. Two reasons. Usually, priests were baptized for cleansing, just to be cleansed, to be clean. Secondly, in preparation for their service as priests, all for the purpose of bringing them closer to God. That was cleansing in the Old Testament. And so you fast forward a very long, long time, and we have John the Baptist in the New Testament. Remember, there's a period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you're not a church person and you're going, what is this New Testament and Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament is God talking way back then. New Testament, if you could, is God talking now. Okay, just to put it into context for you. But between those two periods, there was a lot of silence. A lot of silence. And then John the Baptist comes into the scene. And he begins to preach and he begins to baptize people. A baptism of repentance, he said. He begins to baptize people in the Jordan. Some of you have been in the Jordan. Dan, Catherine, you guys were just there, right? Last year, this year, you guys were there. 2 years ago. Okay, I thought it was this year, but 2 years ago. Some of you have been there, been to the Jordan. And that's where John the Baptist was baptizing people. As he preached about the coming Messiah, the Savior. And then he shows up. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he does something. He baptizes Jesus. Right there in the Jordan. Right there in the Jordan. I could just sometimes picture myself. I take myself to that place. And I wish I was just a fly, just on a rock, observing that. Just a nobody, just watching. And something amazing happens. And this is Luke 3. God speaks when Jesus comes out of the water. And God says, this is my son. This is my son. With him, I am well pleased. This is my son. And with him, I'm well pleased. I want to say something. Whether you've been a Christian for a long, long time, or whether you just walked through the doors of this church building and never set foot in a church before, or you've set foot in many churches, or you were turned off by the church, or whatever label you would have fit in, I want to say this to you. God loves you very much. God loves you very much, but He loves you too much to leave you there. What do I mean by that? Just how you came in this morning, with all the baggage and with all the dirt and with all the sin, because we know that this dirt that we carry, the sin that we carry, is what separates us from God. And so you might have walked in this morning, you know, going, man, I just didn't, you know, this last week, you know, I just failed. I just failed miserably because, you know, the Bible does say that all fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, that's all of us, fall short of God's glory. But He loves you. Stains and all. Like whatever you did Tuesday. Whatever you did Tuesday, behind closed doors or somewhere else, or whatever you thought in your mind, or whatever you said to somebody, or whatever it might have been, whatever it was, He loves you. He loves you with all the baggage and with all the dirt and with all the grass stains and all the soil marks that you've got. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you where you are. But He loves you too much to leave you there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, with him, with her, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. I love the idea of baptism being a movement from a land of slavery to a land of freedom. If you can just think with me back to the Exodus, we know the story. We know what happens. There's actually a movie coming out, I think maybe in December. Exodus, it's called. Kings and Gods, or Gods and Kings, or something like that. You know. But we know the story. Israel's been in captivity in Egypt, and God gets Moses ready to go and deliver Israel out of Egypt. And he goes in, and the plagues, and you know, all that happens. And he finally gets his people out of there. He gets Israel out of there. And he's got the Egyptian army right behind him. And the Red Sea right in front of him. And it's almost like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And they got nowhere to go. And what are we going to do? God says, let me show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to part this sea. And you, my people, I'm going to get you across because I'm ready. We're ready. We're done with the land of slavery. And I'm ready to move you into a land of freedom. And so the waters part. And the people walk through this sea. Two great walls of water. One on one side, one on the other. And they make it to the other side. I mean, that's baptism. That's baptism. It's a movement. It's a movement. It's going from one place and going to the other. It's saying, listen, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of being enslaved. And I'm ready to go into a land of freedom. And that's what Paul says in Romans 6, in which we're about to read here in a little bit. Or how about Noah? The world is taken out by God because of sin. Because of the dirt. And he sends the flood. And by building a boat through this water, Noah and his family are saved. Move from a world, a sin-plagued world, to a saved new place. I mean, that's baptism. I mean, baptism isn't a baptistry, and it isn't this water that's in here right now. It's not this. It's not this structure. It's not this idea that I have to come before God and put on this robe and get in the water, and then I come out and I'm saved. No, baptism is more than that. Baptism is more than just going under water. It's going under grace, church. Amen? If you've got this idea in your mind that me going under that water right there is going to just magically save me, without your faith, and without acknowledging and embracing the grace of God, we're just getting wet. It is not going under water. It's going under the grace of God. Because we know baptism, you know what it is. It's the gospel. It's the living out, the fleshing out of the gospel for us. It's a death and burial and resurrection. And it's our union with Jesus. So let's go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We got 5 up there. Now, I'm going to read from a different translation, or excuse me, transliteration, the Message, Eugene Peterson. I want you to listen, follow along in your Bibles. So what do we do? And let me kind of give a little backdrop. What was going on in the church in Rome was that, man, there was a lot of dirt going on. There was a lot of dirt going on. They had taken upon themselves to impose certain restrictions on people of the law and of circumcision, that if you wanted to become a Christian, you had to be circumcised and you had to obey these laws and you had to do these things. Well, people just kept on sinning. So there were some issues going on in Rome. And the law was a big deal. It was a big deal. They wanted to follow the law. They couldn't let go of the law. Just couldn't let go of the law. But they kept on sinning. So Paul says, so what do we do? keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? It's a question. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. We came up out of the water. We entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. I love the way the NIV encapsulizes verse 4. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so I go back to Paul's question. What shall we do? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Grace is not a license to sin, folks. Grace isn't a card that you pull out and you go, "Well, hey, Lord, I've got this grace card right here, and it gives me permission for one sin this week." You know what I'm saying? "Lord, you know, I've got a free pass to sin." This is an iTunes card, by the way. I'm not trying to say that this is bad, okay? But you know what I'm saying. It's not a license to sin. It's not like, "Oh, Lord, I'm just going to sin, and so because Your grace is there, it's going to cover me." Well, yeah, you're right. His grace is going to cover you. But isn't it about time we stop abusing grace? I could only think about my own life and about the number of times in which I've abused grace. The many times when I've said and I've known and I've prayed and I've cried and I've asked God, "God, please help me with this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to say this. I don't want to think this. Please forgive me. Please send Your grace." And 2 weeks later, what happens? There it is again. And over and over and over and over. But if I read what Paul is saying, he's saying something very clear to us, church. And he's saying, "So we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" No way. Paul knows that where there is sin, there will be grace. And grace will be even more. Just back up to Romans 5:20. He says it. It's not that God can't handle our sin problem. It's not that God can't handle to dish out grace over and over and over again. That's not the problem. The problem is our hearts. We should be burdened about this idea of abusing grace. We can't be okay with that, church. I mean, we can't. We can't be okay with this idea that I'm just going to go ahead and do this because God is going to forgive me. Just reminds me of when I was a kid. I was a child. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do that because I know Mom and Dad are just, they're just going to forgive me anyway, so I'm just going to do it. That doesn't sound too mature to me. Sin does a number, doesn't it? Just over the last couple of weeks, I've seen the effects of sin. Not just in the world, right here. In our little pocket of this world. And how it ravishes families, how it ravishes people. And we can't be okay with that. And Paul says, we die to sin. Don't you know that when you're buried into Jesus, When you're buried into Him, you've died just like He's died. We've died to sin, but we think that, well, it should be sin that dies in us. Sin is not going to die in us. It is we who die to sin. Sin is still going to be around. The last time I checked, sin was still here. Hadn't checked out, hadn't said goodbye. Is still alive. But Paul says, die to sin. Die to sin. Die to sin. What does that mean to you and I? I don't have time to cover what it means to you and I. It means something different to you and I. Because your temptations and mine are uniquely different. And so how do we die to that sin? I don't know. Does it mean turn off the television at a certain time at night? Does it mean taking the computer out of a certain bedroom? Does it mean not having smartphones anymore? Does it mean not going to certain bars? I don't know what it means to you. But we have to die to sin. We can't just say, well, I'm a Christian now and grace is just going to cover me the whole way through. We've got to die to sin. That's what baptism is. The death to sin. Because if we don't die to sin, church, if we don't die to sin, we're going to die from it. Period. You know what's going on over there in Texas with Ebola? It's got nothing on sin. It's got nothing on sin. And sin, man, it's airborne. It's, you can catch it, it's airborne, it's internet born, it's TV born, it's magazine born, it's conversation born, it's life born, period. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's a virus greater than Ebola. I'm not trying to minimize Ebola at all. We need to be praying for our country, praying for the rest of the world. But we need to be praying about our sin problem. And about the folks around us, our family members, our neighbors. And be concerned for them. Be mindful of them. And let our heart burn and ache and be broken over them. I love what Paul says in Romans 6, especially the way Eugene Peterson put it, that we've moved from this land. We've moved from the land of slavery into a land of freedom. Church, we live in a new land. You can't go back to the old land. You can't go back to the old house. You're in a new house. God's giving you a new house now. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. You got God in your life. You got Jesus, who's your Lord and King. You got the church. You can't just decide to go back to the old country. You're in a new country now. You're in a new land now. Let's stay in the new land. Let's stay in the new land. That's what Paul is advocating for. In that new land, there's a new focus. Jesus. And I want to just say this. Baptism. The focus is Jesus. I don't know if you caught it, what Paul says. Romans 6, 1 through 4, 1 through 5. I don't know if you caught the focus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. You were baptized. You were buried into who? Jesus. You were risen. Like who? Jesus. You were given new life. Jesus. The focus on baptism isn't that we did it right. Isn't that we followed doctrine of a certain a group of people or a certain church. It isn't that we did everything to the T. No, the focus of baptism is Jesus, that we could get underneath His grace and be covered by the grace of God. Not that we did it right. Because baptism isn't about us doing anything. It's not. If you think about the description of baptism in Romans 6, Paul says, into His death, into His burial, His resurrection, the work's been done. He did the work. We're just uniting ourselves to what He did. When you go under with Jesus, you've undergone a death. You've stepped into a grave of grace. I love to see it that way. A grave of grace. That's what baptism is. You're surrendering. You're saying, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord, in my life." When you die to sin, when you die to self, that's what you're proclaiming. That's what you're shouting out. "Lord, you're mine, or I'm yours now, and you're mine, and my life is for you. My heart is yours. Everything of mine is yours. And so I surrender to you. Your kingdom come and your will be done." Into a new life. A life of love, of truth, of mercy and grace. A life of hope and peace. A life of meaning and purpose. This is what you're stepping into when you unite yourself with Jesus. God loves you, but if you don't go through the water, you're going to be in a land of slavery. I don't know how I can say it any clearer. If you don't go through the water, you're going to be in a land of slavery. He's ushering us into a new land. But we got to go through the water. Why? So we could get it right? No. So we can be under the grace of God. And so the question this morning for me to you is this. What would life look like for you right now if you had a clean start? Right now, if you decided, "Man, I need the grace of God. I need His forgiveness. I haven't gone through the water. I want to be in a land of freedom. I want to be forgiven. I want God to say, I'm pleased with you, son, daughter." What would your life look like right now? Your homes, your marriages, relationships. What would all that look like if things just shifted right now, this morning, because of your decision to enter the waters of grace? And I know some of you this morning that are in here, you've been thinking about it. You've been thinking about, you know, this idea of, man, entering into the waters and putting on Jesus and becoming part of the church and all those things. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. You've been talking about it. You know what? My question for you is, what are you waiting for? Yeah, we're talking about baptism these two Sundays specifically. Baptism Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday. Not because we just do them these two Sundays. This baptistry is ready to go any Sunday. Any Sunday. But we're talking about it right now. And I remember my conversation with Jim two months ago in my office. And I said, "Jim, why do you want to be baptized?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I need Him. I need Him. He's been part of my life. It's obvious. He's brought me to this point. It's not about getting underwater. It's about getting under the grace of God." What would it take for you? I mean, do you believe what God says? Do you believe what He says about His Son? Do you believe what He says about your sin problem? I mean, if you're coming in here this morning and you're a visitor, you're a guest, I'm sorry you had to come and hear this, but you're a sinner just like me. I'm dirty, you're dirty, we're all dirty. Let's throw a party. We can throw a party because we got Jesus. Do you believe what he says? That if you have faith in him and turn to him and are baptized into him, you'll be forgiven? I hope you do. I'm going to wrap up right now. I'm going to say three things. Under this roof right now, there are three kinds of people. You and I are one of them. You are sitting in your chair right now, and you are either refusing the grace of God. You're refusing the grace of God. No, I don't need to be baptized. I didn't even bring a change of clothes. I'm going to have wet underwear. I just don't want to do that right now. My hair's all good. Come on. I got places to be afterwards. I can't do this right now. Lord, bad timing. You're either refusing grace, and you've been refusing it. This is not the first Sunday you refused it. The grace of God is His Son, Jesus. Or you're abusing grace right now. You're sitting in the chair, and you know exactly what that sin is that you keep abusing grace with. And it just keeps happening over and over and over and over and over and over. Because you know grace is there, and it's a beautiful thing, but you keep abusing it. And abusing it. When's it going to stop? Not God's grace. God's grace will never stop. But when are you going to stop? Because your heart breaks that you keep abusing God's grace. And it's not like God's not a big boy and He can't handle your abuse. I think He is. But when is our heart going to break over the sin that we go to over and over and over again? Third, the word's up there. You're either refusing, abusing, or just drowning in the grace of God. Man. You're just drowning in His grace. Amen. God bless you. We want a church of people to be drowning in the grace of God. Just completely submerged by the grace of God. There's a song by David Crowder. And there's a line. The name of the song is How He Loves. And there's a phrase in there that I love. He says, if your grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. I want to be sinking in the grace of God. This morning, you have got an opportunity to stop refusing, stop abusing, and just drown in His grace. We're not going to drown you in there if you decide to be baptized, by the way. But you know what I mean. We're going to sing a song here in just a second. I'm going to ask you to stand, but first, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. The enemy right now, for some of you who have been thinking about baptism, is going to begin to whisper. He's going to begin to whisper all those same things you've heard before. Don't refuse His grace. Don't abuse His grace. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we're thankful, Father, for sending Your grace to us. It just flows and it keeps flowing, God. And yes, I do want to be drowning in it. I want to be sinking in Your grace, God, because we need Your grace. We need it. It is everything to us, God. Without Your grace, we wouldn't have anything, God. We wouldn't have anything to have faith in, Lord. But You poured out Your grace since the beginning of time. And then You put flesh and bone on Your grace. And You call them Jesus. He came to die. And then be raised for us. so that we can have forgiveness for the sins that we should have hung for. But He hung instead. Thank You for the life. Thank You for the hope. Thank You, Lord, for what You've promised us in Jesus. And my prayer this morning is that if there's anyone here who has not made a decision to put Your Son on in baptism, to be united with Your Son, that they not wait any longer. For the day of salvation is today. Lord, we love You. And we thank You, Father, for Your grace. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. If you have any need, if you want to be baptized this morning, if you want prayers, if you want to talk about baptism a little bit more, we'll be more than glad to do it.